And so just to begin this talk, I'm going to show a bit from The Genius of Flight. I don't know if any of you guys have seen this. It's a really amazing documentary about birds, but this scene I particularly love. And I think it like reflects perfectly what we're talking about. It's only 5 minutes, so you just have to kind of squint your head for 5 minutes in a weird angle.
I've been a wildlife photographer for probably 30 years now, and I've filmed animal behaviour all over the world, but there is really nothing I've seen to match what happens here on Otmore, which is about 3 miles from my own back, Ecuador. It just knocks you sideways. It is almost inexplicable, and tonight should be perfect.
Late in the afternoon, small groups of starlings begin their journey back to the reeds and marshes that sheltered them the night before.
Starlings are long-distance daily commuters. They'll travel up to 30 miles to get to their chosen roost. And they follow invisible aerial corridors, snaking through the countryside, avoiding the turbulence which is going to slow them down. They all come together to stay warm and safe in a large group.
As daylight wanes, small clusters become enormous flocks called murmurations. A name possibly derived from the sound made by 500,000 beating wings.
And you'll see them gathering in the air, up to 300,000 individuals, all in one flock. They're very intelligent birds, and they'll be checking out the roost site, making sure there's no predators around. Any raptors or foxes will be thoroughly specked out before they settle.
After completing their initial survey of the heath, the flocks gather for the final time, and like a massive organism, they flow gracefully through the twilight sky. It is often confused and driven off by the sheer mass and movements of the fly.
And when you look through the lens, you just can't believe that they won't crash into each other. And then they twist and turn, come really close. The sky almost goes black with the density of the fly. This roaring noise in the air, and then suddenly they'll rain down like giant hailstones. It is an astonishing thing to see as they take to the roof for the night. So, who decides whether to turn left or right? What to form a giant sphere or a jumping line in the sky? Who sends a message that it's time to dive back into the reeds for the night? And how is it transmitted to 100,000 birds in an instant? Maybe we'll never have all the answers, and that's all right with me, because every time I come here on a winter evening, I still get the chills, and I'll still be amazed, and I'll walk home thinking, how wonderful is that?
Together.
you can sit on a regular seat now, Jason.
It's okay. Huh?
So the reason that I love this documentary is because it makes it so obvious that there isn't like an individual doer in that flock. There's not birds flying together as in like separate personalities that are controlling the bodies flying together. There's a whole organism. And also, we look at those birds and we think that, okay, so then there's the organism of the birds moving. But the birds then aren't separate from all the other things in the environment as well. The whole environment is one explosion of movement that isn't separate from each other. And why is that important? I mean, really, nothing that I say or anybody says has any importance. And any concept that you take on in the positive that I say, so if I were to say there's no doer, that's actually a lie if you take that on. If you to say there's no separation, that's actually a lie if you take it on, because it's still in the conceptual reality. But what the problem is for the human is separation, is this belief in separation. So when you speak, you kind of have to point out the illusion of separation. But the way that you're pointing out and what you're saying isn't actually true. It's just words appearing in this that aren't separate from anything else. Just like those birds were one organism. It was one organism with the grass, the sky, the sun. All of it was relevant for that amazing expression to happen and was the same energy or the same nothingness or mystery or whatever we call this to be. And I suppose not everybody, but why most people begin to start asking questions is because daily life begins to feel uncomfortable or because the moment isn't enough anymore. And they've looked in all potential moments. So they've looked in getting money, they've looked in having a family, they've looked in having the lover, in eating loads of food. What else could there be? Sex. Oh, yeah, no, I said lover. Yeah. Alcohol or drugs or fame. So everything's been, or jewellery, everything's been looked in, and it can't be found in those objects, in those things in which we're told are the solution. So the solution is getting these things or doing things or something that's going to happen in the future. And so for the human being, they begin to feel like it's never enough, this is never enough. And it's an energetical thing, it's not really, it seems to be mental as well, but it's mostly an energetical sense. It feels uncomfortable in the body. The body no longer feels comfortable. The really crazy part to it, which is maybe not going to sound very funny, but the really crazy part is that this moment is absolutely free, and that's your nature, this moment. And this is another really odd thing. The fact that it's always disappearing and appearing is your freedom. That's really odd, because you'd have never thought that that had anything to do with happiness, the fact that it disappears, the fact that it's appearing and disappearing. It's the freedom of this movement is the fact that it's always moving, and by its movement means that it's not separate. Like watching those birds and the movement of those birds, the movement of everything, it's all changing from one thing to another. So in that picture, in that image, it's so hard to put into words, but in the image, there was the grass and the birds flowing and the sunlight. And all of these things are constantly changing into each other. So the sunlight is creating energy in the bird. When the body of the bird rots, it turns into the ground and then grows to be the grass or the trees. It's all one harmony working. There's never been a separate individual living. Suffering thoughts, all uncomfortableness, all that discomfort that's felt or seems to be felt in the body comes from this idea, I am a separate individual and I need to move towards the future in order to have a better experience. but it was such a practical thought in the first place to make the environment better or to improve the situation. It was such a practical thing, but it gets obsessed. The mind hooks onto these thoughts, future, 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 avoid or past. It even gets hooked onto past, what they did to me. But even in the words that I'm saying, there cannot be found peace in those words. They're just words that are moving. The peace is the fact, this is really crazy sounding, but the peace is the fact that the words are disappearing. It's the freedom in which they appear and disappear, and they're not even staying there. They're not even really happening. It's in the no movement of this movement. Oh, crap. Is any sense coming out here? Doesn't matter anyway. It's when you stop listening that it's heard. So I'm often repeating there is no choice or there is nobody doing. But to believe that is just another dream. It's really not true. It's really... To even say no separation is dependent on the idea of separation. So, what the individual wants is this, is what's happening. What the personal and what the person wants is to come home. That it always believes, because it can only think that, that it's in something, that it's in the next moment, that it's in something in the future. Because otherwise there would not be a person, there wouldn't be somebody there thinking. There would just be what is, and there would be no difference between outside and inside. So the only way that the person can hear this is to look at something in time. But then what else can happen is there can be a listening when it stops listening. Or there can be hearing this without hearing this. It's like these sounds are appearing, but they mean nothing. And there's a remembering of that innocence, a remembering of that meaninglessness of this moment. That none of this is going anywhere and none of it means anything. But even saying meaning creates the idea and can create the story of this is meaningless. What's the point? This means nothing. That's all bollocks. That's an idea. Why am I here? Why am I listening to this? You're here. It's not even you here. Even the idea of you being here is a craziness. And this can be remembered, and it's like a really intimate remembering. It's nothing to do with you. It's a sense of this aliveness, this beingness which has always been there. And this beingness isn't a thing. It's not something that you know or you see, but it's, I suppose, dun dun dun, I never use this word, but here it comes. I suppose you could call it love.
So everything that you think you know of what happiness is and what you want is an illusion, including somebody hitting you in the face or running off with all your money or the bed being too small or not being able to sleep. This is not what creates unhappiness. What creates unhappiness is it's happening to me and I'm separate from everything else. And I could potentially have a different experience if I do something. And it's living in this once removed reality, this imagined reality. It's like a fog that comes up and this is not seen as it is. This is seen through this fog. And this fog seems to keep repeating in time. And it's so energetical. This isn't a mental thing I'm talking about. It's that feeling of woof. A bit like what you'd if it was really heavy, it would be like Gollum out of Lord of the Rings. My precious! Like he's always crunched over. It feels like that when it's really strong, when the identification's really strong. But then also when the identification's really strong, the thought, the fog, the veil of what the problem is really thick. So it's really believed that there's a problem in the world when there's that strong contraction. And it's really looking in the world for an answer. It's because I haven't got this, or because I haven't done this, or because of this person, or because of this situation. And then that's all that can be seen, and no matter how much you repeat non-duality to yourself in that moment, that's the way the world is. It's that fog. And that fog's not even appearing for someone. It's not even somebody inside the body which is being fogged. It's just a functioning that's appearing, which seemingly creates discomfort, but it's not actually appearing for anyone. Because who are we here? Who is here? Who has ever been here but a fog? Who are you? So all suffering is on false assumptions of things that the person thinks, or that it's not even the person. I think it's more than likely just a functioning in the brain that's firing these chemicals or these electrical reactions that happen and giving the appearance of a certain way. So it's like a chemical reaction goes off and there's some sort of thought that appears, an energy that appears, that says, I am unhappy, or I am in here, or I don't like that. It's such a weird thing. But then that's taken to be a separate entity and to be taken as a somebody, but it's not even somebody taking that, it's just appearing in this. And there is the freedom again, the fact that it's appearing in this. Because this holds on to nothing. This is what is, where things are appearing and disappearing. And by the fact that they're appearing and disappearing, there is no thing happening. Where can you ever grab a thing? I'm really going for it tonight, making so much sense. So this is boundless, this is absolute free, this is the love, this is everything you ever look for, but this is absolutely undefinable and has got nothing to do with what you think. Thinking is another thing that appears in this. I noticed from being in Utah the last couple of weeks, so I've spoken to a few people about being with this group in Utah, and I noticed that different groups attract different personalities. So the group that I was with attracted
tend to attract to really excitable personalities, like personalities that like to go high, like da da da, and they can get really excited about things. And I noticed that people that normally are more attracted to the way I speak, they don't tend to be like really high people that are really like, oh, and this and this, da, 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 like really excitable people. They tend to be more of an even personality. That was interesting. But I did also notice in the comparisons of the different groups, and I could say lots of things about their group, that group, but one thing I noticed about people that are attracted to non-duality is that they like to take the negative part to be true. So they like to repeat the story that there's nothing they can do. And really, that's not what I'm saying at all. And I remember going through a phase as a seeker believing that was the case, that there's nothing I can do. That's such an illusion, just as much illusion as there is something I can do. And they tended to be a bit of a like, oh, this is hopeless. And I know that I say it's hopeless, but then that's not really meant to mean anything. And then you can see this kind of like apathy sometimes. Like, oh, it's hopeless, there's nothing I can do, it's pointless, I don't even know why I come to these talks. I don't need these talks. And I remember that as a seeker, like I remember that mentality, and it's such an illusion. That's just the opposite illusion to there is something I could do. So the high group were like, yeah, I'm going to get there, and we're enlightened, or we're just about enlightened. And they're in a dream as well. But it was like this more high personality was like, yeah, and this happened, and this happened, and that experience, and that experience. And they're like, ah! Completely in dream, that high dreamland. And then there's this other, which not always is with these talks, but I did notice it a bit more, of like, oh, it's hopeless. There's nothing I can do. It's the same thing, just the opposite side. And then you can see personalities change between them. And then this sort of talk, it can be like, it can go to high, and it can be like, this is the final stage. This is definitely the best. This is the last stage of Advaita. This is the highest message. Which is just the other side to the other one. It's very funny. It was really amazing to watch from that perspective, not only that group, but then also it became in comparison, and you're seeing the different personalities and the different stories that like to be told. A lot of people were getting angry with the course people that they're not talking in absolute, they're not talking truth. But it's kind of crazy thinking, because how could anything be any different from the way it is? So even if they are not talking whatever absolute is, how could they not be speaking what they're speaking? And is it not you anyway? Not you as a body, but you as in that energy, that nothingness. So it's only when we attach meaning to it that we begin to struggle with the comparisons and with the which one's higher. Like, in a way, it's all the highest, or it's all it, because it's all the sounds of this. And to attach meaning to either is just a game. Then we're here, drinking our coffee, eating our fly. And then we're like, oh, it's highest meaning, yes. Non-duality. Not two-ness, oh, yes. Then we forget it. And then that's the highest meaning. You all know what I mean by that?
Yeah. I don't know what you mean by that.
Mr. Schlag himself.
The people in Utah that are watching will not know.
They won't know what that means.
Huh?
Nobody in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In English, we call it. Oh, hello. Is there still people there? I forgot about them. All these different.
She's having a beer.
Is there anybody?
Hey, yeah. There is six people. Hey, six people. So what this is?
is we call it whippy cream, I think, in English.
Whipped cream.
No, we don't call it whipped cream. We call it. Do you remember Jason?
What?
Squirty cream.
Yeah.
Squirty cream.
Yeah.
Squirty.
It is.
Best cream.
The best cream. Or fake cream. It really doesn't matter what you do or where you go. That's so hardcore. The Indian child, the missing arm comes in. It's not fair, Lisa. It really doesn't matter what message you listen to, really. Or it's all about what's happening. And it's all about the fact that it disappears. That sounds so negative. It comes, it goes. And by that movement, it means it's never really happening. I mean, where did that sound go? We can theorize about it till hours about where that sound went, and give all the like scientific explanation. But where did it go? And that there's no solid someone that this is happening to. It's so confusing though when that fog comes up, because that feels like the realest thing ever, because there's that it's almost like that's all you can see, even though it's an energy. And there's that energy of discomfort. And then there's this thoughts following going, it's because of her. It's because of what she did. Or it's because I've not done enough of. It feels so real. I mean, it's kind of crazy that that would even be questioned, but it does seem to get questioned. When the focus stops going in into that narrow world of me, my life, and my good, my bad, my love, my lost love, my past and future, and it doesn't mean that that stops being talked about. I'm not saying that the human gets denied. It's that when the energy stops going into that is who I am, and that is the most important thing, then there's this huge freedom that's here. And I don't really know why it starts or stops. But how could anyone? We only ever know what's happening. And what's happening is an exposing of this illusion. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's still an illusion. Who would know? It's just coming out. Wow, my computer's loud tonight. I got overexcited. sometimes this can be a little scary because if the future isn't important and the past isn't important and the mind activity is not going into that, then this is just dangling in the middle of nowhere. This is totally fresh and totally new and means nothing. Like, it has no understanding to it. And that can be disorientating for somebody that felt like it knew where it was coming from and going to. Not that that activity stops altogether, the body will still carry on functioning, but that constant living in a, I suppose, even though this is just words, horizontal world, as if you know how and why you got here. And you keep repeating that story of how and why you got here and where you're going. As that begins to collapse, then there's nothing left. This is nowhere. This isn't anything happening. This is no world. And not having that meaning and that purpose can seem quite scary. It's quite funny. I often used to think that fear and bliss are really close. Not that we're aiming for bliss, but they're kind of really similar emotions. Maybe you could say this is happening in silence or something.
The sound like you're taking off in Ustream. Oh, my dog. Oh, my dog. She might want to come in then. So the sound's happening, but where do these sounds appear? They're appearing in you. Just moving through time. Where else is there but an imagined world? But this. There's this, and then there's an imagined something else. Imagination is an amazing functioning that happens, but it's not a reality. You're not here because of imaginings. You're not here because of you. That you is an imagination. Imagination is just a fun thing, practical thing that arises here. It's not a reality. You're not here because of what you think about yourself or what you tell other people about yourself. There's just stories that are either practical or for fun. You're not going somewhere. You're not going to a place that you imagine. You're not going home tonight or to bed that you imagine tonight. That's imagining. But it's so strong, this imagining, it's like it's a reality. There's nothing around apart from this. This is empty of everything. It sounds so negative, but it's absolute love. When I was speaking with this Course in Miracle group, that very high God, it was like, wow, this really sounds like a negative thing, but it's really beautiful. The absence of what we think life is, and living in that energetical world of me and the world, is absolute love. Even that is absolute love, but it seems to give uncomfortableness. is what I call suffering, or what people call suffering. The golem. Or just a mild discomfort. The weirder thing is we imagine, so I say this, and then we imagine that getting out of discomfort is better. He agrees. So we imagine getting out of discomfort. So when I speak, the imagination hears it, so there's hearing, and then there's an activity which registers that and says, okay, so it'll be better this without discomfort. And it imagines that as a potential future. And then again, it is in this world of imagining. Even that's part of this circular motion that's going on of me and my life. Even the imagining of me saying this is absolute love, and then the mind's like, oh yes, that sounds better. But in this moment, there's this resonating when I say it, that knows this, knows the stillness of what is, or knows this, which is beyond that imagining, or some people might say prior, but it's not really prior. It's not in that imagining. Kind of the discomfort is more closer to it, even though nothing can be closer to it. But the feeling of discomfort, or the feeling of suffering, or the feeling of sadness is nearer to it than the imagining of getting rid of the sadness. But there's nothing that can be nearer to it. That's a load of bollocks. Where's it? Ooh. Nearer. Further. You guys know this. Every sound that I make is you. Without it being you as a body, or an imagining. You know this so well. And it goes, yes, but, taka taka taka, forward, back, forward, back.
The trick is believing the mind.
Yeah. It's even, so, but there's not even somebody there that can believe the trick in the mind or not. There's chemical reactions giving stories about what's happening, and there's not even somebody there that can believe it or not. It's happening in pure emptiness, in absolute emptiness, the illusions of the mind. But for some reason now, it's confronting that in the seeming form world. It's exposing that that's not true. Not even for someone, because who would be tricked by the mind? Who could possibly be tricked by the mind? There can never be anything found that is you. It's just another part that's appearing, giving an illusion, creating an illusion. And then, that's a really weird part, then something's coming back and saying, no, not that. That's not what you're looking for. It's all weird, this. It never makes sense. There's something that knows all this, like that's buzzing, not knowing it as in like aware of it, oh I know this, but when you say certain words or when you're talking about this subject, there's something that kind of remembers it, without it being you or someone that remembers it, without it being one of those chemical reactions going, oh yes, I remember this. It's like a that bit that's always been there, no matter what the body does or what age it's ever been, it knows this.
And is it possible to know that, or is that also an imagination?
Not as a thought, but it's now, like, everything is buzzing with it. That emptiness, that silence, that no-worldness. But that doesn't, that might mean nothing there. That those words might not touch anything there. But there's something that knows the absolute silence that's happening here. But it's like a, I would like to say felt, but it's not really a felt thing like we imagine, but it's like the most truest, intimate bit that's always been there, while everything else has been passing through. But all those things that are passing through are it as well, because there couldn't be anything else but it.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about awareness. Awareness is just a functioning of consciousness.
When we saw the birds there,
yeah,
you have the mind who tries to control the idea that the birds. He tries to understand why birds are going left or right.
Yeah.
But then he has to stop understanding it. You cannot understand why.
No.
So there is a kind of wonder happening. So what you want to see is that the fact that we are all here is in fact the same wonder happening as
exactly the same, yeah.
So
and if you move out from anything, you see it from that perspective as like one. It all looks like that as well, that kind of movement that's all happening together. The more you look out from humans, the more humans look perfectly ordered. And it's wondrous as to how, if you go up in an aeroplane and you look down on cities, it's like, wow, the way it's all moving, like the birds. Just like the birds. And then you go up to space, not like we've been to space. I've seen YouTube. Space. You look down and it's all moving together. And that movement together means that it reflects back that oneness, that not two.
So the fact that I'm moving my hand just like this towards my head, just the ego would think I'm just pulling my hand towards the head, but in fact, it's just happening.
It's just a happening, and it's a result of everything that's ever happened and everything that's going to happen, which is only happening now.
Right.
It's really amazing.
So you should be always amazed by everything what is happening.
The you is what gives the appearance that stuff isn't amazing and that there is a problem. It's funny, isn't it? The you that's interpreting all of this is the one that... But there's not even a solid you, there's just chemical reactions giving an appearance of someone interpreting all this and removed from all this. And saying, why didn't you turn your head right, or what, not head, the car, whatever, why didn't you turn your car right, or why did you crash into this car, or why didn't they do this for me, or why do I have to do this job, or what's the point to my job? That's the, like, what's the point? That's a huge thing. What's the meaning of this? What's the purpose of this? Most of the time it's about purpose.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because purpose was just a made-up word that humans created. And, well, it didn't really humans create it, but it formed with the human, this word, purpose. And then the human then feels purposeless because it can't find a made-up thing called purpose. It's so sweet, the human drama. But it's not, it's so unpersonal. It's just loads of chemical reactions happening, giving all these appearances.
So when you understand this, it doesn't
understanding
bother you.
No, actually it's a bit unfortunate. Understanding doesn't necessarily touch anything. That's the really unfortunate bit. You meet lots of people that understand Advaita actually better than I do. If you listen to me, sometimes I'm a bit vague. And not so clear word-wise. But actually intellectual understanding is just intellectual understanding. This bit of the unfortunate thing, it's not really about the understanding, it's about, this is really weird, the silence in which the understanding's appearing in.
the mind always focuses in forms. You can't see the silence, but you are the silence. So you can't, that's even an understanding to think that you can see the silence. It's a world of mirrors. So I meet people actually that could argue better with me, and they come to my talk sometimes, and then I'm like, yeah, you're right about Advaita. Like, it's really not that important, because everything I say is only an opposite to what people think, so it's not a truth in any way. Like, Advaita is often just confronting what we think we know, so you say you haven't got a choice, but that's only because there's an assumption that you have a choice, so that still can't be it. That only exists that you haven't got a choice with the idea that you have. It's that silence it's appearing in. Now, what the fuck is silence? It's Lisa, it makes sounds very spiritual. But you know this because it's your nature. It's that deep sleep that's here. Like, that freedom, that boundlessness that's so undescribable that the mind can only focus on the describable. But it's not in the mind. The mind's appearing in it. Mm-hmm. I make it sound so separate, the mind's appearing in it, but that's how we dance. We dance. This is really a dance. It's just with sounds.
I love what you were talking about.
It's not a feeling, but what happens when the collapse of this separate energy happens is there's a byproduct of bliss, often, and immense love that can be felt. It's just the way it goes. I make it sound really, but that's not it. That's a movement as well. It has to be. But that's often the way. So often people that are speaking speak a lot about the love, the bliss. That's the side effect which happens in the body. But that's in this moving. Anything that's moving is not it because it's moving. You're stuck on something again if you think it's that. But that's the benefit. No, I'm joking. The benefits, but often it comes with that feeling of a feeling of falling in love all the time. But that's the feeling, the side effect. That's not what we're quite talking about here. The nothingness is what we're talking about. And I call that love. That's actual love. Because that's what everything's appearing in, and it's absolute compassion and disappearing in, and judges nothing.
Excuse me, why the word compassion? Why?
I know, that's weird, isn't it? Because nothingness does not judge at all the paedophile from the saint, whatever we call the saint, the saviour of dogs. Or the saviour of kids. Nothingness is just creating without any. It's got no. What's that word?
Confession.
It's got no
agenda.
What's that word?
Differentiation.
Yeah, that word. It doesn't have any agenda, and it doesn't define differences.
All is welcome.
It creates that in its appearances.
I would say that even compassion is appearing in it.
Well, what we think of compassion is appearing in it. What I was saying when I was saying compassion, I was meaning it as in like the absolute, the nothingness. It's even beyond in love with all its creation. It is its creation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I meant it as in like something that judges nothing, but in the dream it creates compassion.
You say love because somehow love is like the highest we know, but it's even higher than love.
Oh, I'm quite satisfied with love.
Maybe that's what. I
hate the word love, but yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. That's just still something moving in this.
Where do you put consciousness and awareness and love?
I think that consciousness, although I don't really know, I love the word consciousness because, and I love the way that a lot of speakers use it because it makes it so obvious how impersonal it is. And you can use the word consciousness and that explanation in so many great ways. But I presume that consciousness is just a functioning of the brain. It's just a functioning in which nothingness is using
It's not the same meaning as love or awareness.
No, awareness, nothingness. Consciousness, I think, but this is again just words and it means nothing. Consciousness is, so nothingness, okay, here we go. This is...
No, it's very strange because you have a lot of teachers and they all speak their way, they are using their own words.
And consciousness is a great way to point back to nothingness, actually. It's really amazing way because what the fuck is consciousness?
Yes.
Like, so it's a great way to point back to that nothingness. But the way that I talk, or tend to talk, although it's always changing, is there's this nothingness, and this nothingness creates all these things, and one of the things it creates is a human body. And then in the human body it creates this brain, and they even say all the cells of the body are producing consciousness in science, but God knows what it's happening. So the body is, or the brain is creating consciousness, and then it's also creating memory. A memory, this functioning of memory, of seeming to have images of past objects that have appeared come up, give the appearance that something's happening in a linear way. And they give this life of a human. But it's really not happening like that. It's a very limited activity happening in a brain, giving the appearance that it knows past and it knows future. But it's... when the brain dies, that all dies and goes back into nothingness. Like, it's just a creation. I presume consciousness is another thing that comes from the brain. But even if consciousness is everything, like a lot of non-duality speakers say, what is consciousness but nothing? Like, it's just a clever way to point out, because you can say things like, everything's inside consciousness. What is conscious of that? Something is conscious of that. And so there's this person that's so identified with me and my story, and then the speaker says, what's looking at that? And then the... And it's a really clever way to talk about this stuff. But then, I mean, what is it even mean, consciousness? Like, it all comes back down to that nothingness. I quite like the word I am. And I quite like thinking about it sometimes, like, I am is the bridge between nothing and everything. Like, that sense of I am before it goes, I am the body. Like, or I am something, or it identifies. But I am's not the source. The source is nothing. It's like the in-between.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it can't be an in-between, so obviously I am is everything, ultimately, and nothing.
And back to love.
Huh?
Back to love now?
Are we back to love?
Yes. I try to understand the word love you're using every time again.
Love.
It's not very easy to...
Yeah. Well, here we go. So, there's two ways in which I use love. So love is, so you see that these sounds are disappearing. These sounds seemingly are heard. And this is where consciousness teaches it. It's great because it's like they're appearing in consciousness and then they disappear. But these sounds are heard and then they disappear and they've gone forever. I know that sounds really weird, but that's love.
No, it's... Yeah.
The fact that it appears and disappears... like that intimacy, like this is gone. So it's like nothing ever suffers, nothing ever's in pain, like it's gone. And the human's really scared of that fact that it's gone, because it wants to exist in something. That the human is always trying to produce this timeline. But the most beautiful thing is the fact that it appears and disappears. Like, this is gone. This is gone. This is... it's like when you kiss your lover or really think of something that you really enjoy. It's never going to happen again. It's the most immense... all the time, it's the most immense intimate experience, and then it's gone forever and it never even happened. But if you can feel that more than me saying it in words, it's a bit confusing in words. Then there's this other love, which is a side effect. Beautiful side effect that happens in form.
Like bliss.
Yeah, and I think it's actually like the nature, not that there's a nature of I am, but it's when all the kind of like delusions begin to crumble
It's like I am, and that I am, when you, that going back and forth stops, the your nature, the feeling that's produced with I am is just love, being in love. That's a great thing to worship there, and I apologize for setting up that dream, but that's what's got to come out now. Like, I am is, it's like, I am, you're everything. When it comes back down to I am, everything you look at, touch, you are.
Yeah.
It's so intimate. It's like making love to everything. But that's a side effect. That's not the... It is it and isn't it? Like, it, everything's it, but it's... That's something that's moving in this. Wow. Talking's coming out. That's what happens when you go to Utah and don't speak very much. So I just did a conference for 10 days in Utah and I only did 3 talks. I'm used to talking lots when I do retreats. Such a...
Why was it that you only had 3 talks?
That's all that happened. So where it went.
They were meditating all the time? Or?
No, actually they were playing a lot of music.
Okay.
It was like a music festival.
Okay.
So there was a lot of music and dance parties. It was really good fun. We had 2 dance parties. But we were high in the mountains. And if you've ever tried to have a diet dance party high in the mountains when you're used to flatness, especially Holland, you're like, like, see, so that does it. And you get so excited. That's really funny. What a funny thing this all is.
So we get the byproduct of your frustration. I'm not talking, so we get the goodies, then, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Utah.
Frustration. Yeah. I don't know. The byproduct of nothing.
But the fact that we call it love could only be an interpretation of a human being, of course.
Yeah, but in... Yeah, so that's only an interpretation. So it's not it. But in... You know when you listen to really great music, or when you eat the most amazing meal, or when you're sat with your lover, or... I don't know what it's like to have a child, but... When you're playing with kids or playing with your dog or something, where you're totally immersed in it, and there's total immersion. There's no other world, there's no you and me, there's no right or wrong or anything, there's just immersion. That is in love. That is what we as humans describe as in love. And that's what's being talked about here.
Because we're humans, it's as simple as that.
I don't know.
If you would be in dinosaurs, you would not have to be having this conversation.
No, yeah.
And still, there would be love.
Yeah. But the dinosaur, I doubt, has identification. So the dinosaur is just completely immersed in experience. It's not even a dinosaur.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've never even met a dinosaur. Am I like a duck, Stan? Oh, no. He's gone.
No, I was not done. Half gone.
Half gone. If you ever want me to slow down, just say, it might not happen. It might. I get excited. We need a... what's that? Where you go? Oh, slow motion button. It's because when we say we're enjoying something, we say we forget the world. You forgot yourself, you forgot the world. This is what's being talked about. Mm.